Hi, Luna.
How are you today?
I'm very well, thank you.
Good, good. Thank you for joining this podcast episode. Today with you, I'd like to talk about your activity, your adventures, and your story a little bit. So okay. I'll go straight into some questions. And first of all, as I said before, offline, nice t-shirt.
Thank you very much.
So for all those people who don't really know you, who are you, Ellen?
Who am I? Okay, I'm English. I'm older than I care to admit. I was born on the east coast of England on a farm, and I guess that sort of growing up on a farm around tractors and things is probably where my love of cars and driving came from. But my mum will tell you that I've always loved cars. And we've always had a lot of cars, my husband and I, including Land Rovers. My work background is very different to what I do now. I actually trained as a fashion designer. So coming from a completely different background, but always had slightly crazy cars. And I remember going to see a client one day in one of my cars, which was a rally type car. And the lady walked out and went, "Well, I didn't expect a fashion designer to drive a car like that." And I was like, "Oh, okay, well, I like to be different." So now I live in France, and I drive 4x4s in rallies. So that's sort of who I am, really.
You make it sound so easy.
Not easy. It's a lot of fun. I wouldn't say it's easy.
So that's where, let's say, the Gazelle of Roads team was born. Basically from your passion and from your experience in driving. And then what happened? How did you come out with this idea?
I love Morocco, and I have very good friends in Morocco. And back in 2015, I was in Morocco with a guy that I know. He actually makes fantastic lights, and we were chatting about stuff, as you do, and he knew that I liked cars. And he said, "But why have you never done the Rally de Gazelle?" And I said, "Because I don't know what it is." So I came home and I looked it up and thought, yeah, I could do that. I fancy driving across the Sahara. And so that's kind of where it all started. And we had a Land Rover at the time. You need a 4x4 for the rally. And I said to my husband, "Okay, I don't think it's the right car," because it was a V8, very drank lots of fuel, and a short wheelbase Land Rover. So I decided that if we were going to do the rally, I needed a different car. And so we went back to England, because there's more Land Rovers there, and found the 110, which everybody now knows as Priscilla, who's branded with Eurospare, and did the first rally in 2019. It took a little bit of time to organise that and to find a teammate. As it happened, it wasn't the right teammate. That experience was challenging, I think is the word we're going to say there. And I came home from that and said, "Oh, I'm never doing that again." And then a few months went on and I saw lots of other people starting their journey and thought, "Nah, I've got to go back. I've got to do it again and do it the way that I want to do it." So I got another teammate and we went back. Obviously, COVID kind of delayed that a little bit. So September 2021, we went back and did it again. And that was a much better experience, apart from a little mechanical breakdown, but that's aside. And since then, it's just sort of got a bit out of control, really. And now it's like the Sahara sand gets under your skin and everywhere in the car, like literally everywhere. And it calls you back.
And what is it that makes it like, let's say, more challenging? The preparation of the car, the driving experience, the team, as you said, might be also.
Gosh, I think everything is challenging, really. There's obviously a lot of preparation to do, not just of the car, but of us as a team, whoever I'm teaming up with, to make sure that we work well as a team. There's obviously physical preparation. And I think in hindsight, probably the first time I didn't do enough of that. A lot of mental preparation. And I think until you've driven in the desert, you don't really understand how that affects you. I love it. I absolutely, the best thing is being in the desert, completely in the middle of nowhere. And the only thing you have is your teammate, your car, and your dust trail behind you. And that is magic. And the energy that you get from just being this tiny little speck in this vast landscape is incredible. But equally, I know that there are some people that that terrifies. So to understand is a big part of it. Then, of course, there's the preparation of the car. There's always funds to raise. And yeah, it's an all-encompassing thing, really, to get ready for an event, whatever it is. There's always a lot.
And you had to learn how to repair the car, because if you're in the desert and something happens, how do you do that?
On most of the events that I do, if something happens on the stage, you have to have a basic knowledge of how to fix your car. It's not always possible, but I mean, even down to proper basics, we have to be able to change a wheel. You know, I need to know where things are under the bonnet, so we can check levels, all the basic things. Okay, they're basic to me. I guess for a lot of people, they probably wouldn't be basic.
I think it's hard to open the trunk.
yeah, a little bit high level than that. But you know, the majority of things, and we also have to know how to, if we get stuck in the sand, we've got to know how to get out of the sand. That applies also to events in the UK where it might be muddy. You know, if you get stuck in the mud, it's about knowing what tire pressures you need on the car, the techniques of actually driving in difficult conditions, which, to be fair, most people probably never have to do. Even if you're on a pay and play day in the UK with your 4x4, it's normally relatively toned down to what it's like on a long distance rally. So there's a lot to learn, and you only learn a lot of it through making a mistake on the event normally.
And because I was asking, because sometimes I see pictures of you installing some components or working on the cars that you publish on your social media. We will actually share the link to your social media on the description of this podcast. And there are two things that I wanted to share with you. One is like, wow, because it's not easy. At least I speak for myself. As I said before, opening the trunk is the basic. So very well done. And second, there's something that always makes me smile, which is your nails, because you always have perfect nails. And I'm like, how does she do that? You know, like putting her hands in the car and still having this perfect nail artwork.
They're not always perfect. Yeah, I like to have my nails done. I'm a sort of a strange mixture, I suppose, between doing very non-girly things with makeup on and my nails done. Yeah, it's really important for me. It's my car. A lot of people who compete in these sorts of events hire a car, but that's never really been an option for me, because I always have an almost personal relationship with my car. And I need to know how that works. I need to understand how it works. And it's not something that comes naturally to me. My world is more about visual things and colors than how things work. That's not how my brain works. But it's really important to me to understand how the car works. So if something goes wrong, or if I hear a noise and I think, oh, that's not right, and I need to know what I'm looking for. And yeah, I spend a time underneath the car, laying on my back and getting my hands dirty. And sometimes I wear gloves for things, but I always feel that I've sort of lost the tactile sensation in my fingers if I wear gloves. So I quite often go and get my nails done, and the lovely lady who does my nails will say, "Your nails are filthy." And I go, "Yeah, well, they've probably got oil under them." And
And you mentioned before the sponsors. So what's the role of the sponsor for you in your in this activity?
Okay, motorsport in whatever form you do it is not a cheap thing to do. So the sponsors give us funding, they give us support in many different ways, either with things that we need, or some of the sponsors are there to give us more mental support. We have people who come on board as a partner because they like what we do, and because we would always hope that we are inspirational, doing something that women of our age, it's not what you expect them to do. And to a certain extent, women in 4x4s off-road is not the classic image of a woman's sport. So the sponsors are very important to us. And in actual fact, we prefer to call them partners, because it's more than just somebody giving us their logo to put on the car. We try to work with our partners to make sure that we're promoting their product or their service or their values. It's very much a two-way street that we're very passionate about, making sure that we sufficiently thank the people who give us their trust, because that's what it is at the end of the day that allows us to go and do slightly crazy things.
Yeah, and I speak on like on behalf of your sparrow, like the decision for Hot Braid to partner with you. The first, let's say, thing they noticed was indeed your approach to the race, and also your support, like using the race also to support other causes, and that's also something very important. I don't know if you want to talk about it as well.
Yeah, we've always felt that obviously we're incredibly lucky to be able to do what we do. And that's okay, there's an element of luck in that, but we also work hard for it. But it's still seen as something that we're very lucky to be able to do. And we feel that too. And right from the start, it's been very important to make sure that we give something back. Now, initially, that was to make sure that we gave something back to Morocco, which is where a lot of our events take place. It's a country, like I said before, that's very close to my heart. So we have a project in the Atlas Mountains, a rural school, which you literally have to drive up the side of a mountain to get to the village. And that school only exists through donations. So I've supported the school, well, we as a team have supported the school since 2019. And it's always an immense pleasure, very emotional actually, to go to the school and to see the kids and to meet the people. And to know that we're helping those kids to have a basic education, which otherwise they wouldn't have got. And just to put that into context, although they live in Morocco where the main language is Arabic, they don't actually speak classic Arabic. They speak like a form of patois. So in the school, the first thing they have to do is to teach them a form of Arabic that will be understood outside of their village when they eventually leave and go and do things. So it's really important. And that space also has a space for the women of the village who didn't have an education because the school wasn't there, that they can go in the afternoons and get help for their basic numeracy and literacy. So that project is really close to my heart. Some of our rallies have humanitarian causes as well for cancer research, and particularly breast cancer is something that I think in one way or another, many people have been touched by cancer, and certainly among the women, my friends, my girlfriends, breast cancer is something that's always in the back of your mind, especially when you get to the age when you have to go and have mammograms. So that's important. But more than anything, I think I'd really like to think that somebody sees what we're doing and thinks, wow, I could do that. There's no reason why you can't do that. We would like to be seen as inspirational. And that's not in a, like, I want to feel good about myself way. If somebody watching us do what we do, which is slightly insane, and thinks, yeah, my dream doesn't have to be the same thing. My dream is whatever it is. Let's go and do it. Because why not? It just requires a lot of determination and a certain amount of madness, I guess, but
totally. And that this is the spirit, because now I'm gonna spoil a little information. That's the spirit that will bring you in 2026 somewhere you did not expect to go.
So in 2026, we have a seriously crazy plan. We, Marcella and I, Marcella is my co-driver. She's also been my best friend for, gosh, a really long time, 19 years now. So it'll actually be the 21st anniversary of our friendship in 2026. And we have decided that we are going to try to be the first all-female British team to go and compete in the Dakar Classic, which is, I mean, it's like super exciting, but at the same time, it's really, really daunting. I mean, you know, we're not in our first flush of youth, and but at the same time, there's no reason why we can't do it. You know, we're both reasonably fit, we're determined, I mean, really determined to actually make this work. So yeah, that's the crazy idea for 2026, which we're starting on that journey now, because although that sounds like it's a long way away, in actual fact, our car has to be ready to ship to Saudi Arabia at the end of 2025. And in reality, that isn't that far away. So there's an awful lot to do to make that happen. But dream big, that's what we say.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's insane, but I think it will be like amazing. Just the experience itself, the preparation, the stress, you know, everything is gonna be something so hectic but so nice, at least for people like you. Or okay, I put also myself in, like, that we like to be challenged. I think
yeah,
it's a very, very great opportunity.
I think there's a lot of people who want to be super rich, and things like that. And that's fine. That's a great thing if that's your bag. But for me, I want to do something. I'd rather go and do something incredible than have a load of money sitting in the bank. I don't have a load of money sitting in the bank, unfortunately, but mainly because I have a fleet of Land Rovers to maintain. But no, I think the experience will be, it's probably going to be a one-off experience, but it's just like Dakar is the most well-known motorsports event in the world. Is everybody wants to do Dakar. Now, I want to make it clear that we're not doing the main Dakar. That's a speed event, and that's for the top class teams. But in 2020, they introduced Dakar Classic, which is for the older vehicles. It's a regularity rally. It still covers enormous distances. It's still going to be really physically tough. But we get at night to share the bivouac with all the great names in Rally Raid. And that whole experience, there's so many facets to that. It's going to be incredible. We're going to be absolutely knackered, but it will be incredible.
Yeah, and you know, as a female team, you will also bring this message out that, let's say, there's the presence of women in the Dakar Classic, which is also very important. So there are you represent a lot in this, can we call it competition, I guess, yes.
So yeah,
you will represent a lot of values and messages out there in 2026. So beside the challenge, is also a good way to transfer messages globally in our industry, in the automotive industry, but as well for passionate people. So
yeah, I think motorsport has always been, I don't know, it's strange actually. In recent years, certainly, motorsport has been dominated by men. But if you look back in the history of motoring, at the very start of it, there were a lot of women doing incredible things. The first woman to drive across the Sahara was the first person to drive across the Sahara was a woman. I've actually forgotten her name at the moment. It will come back to me. The first proper overland trip wasn't actually the Oxford and Cambridge expedition that labelled themselves the first overland. It was a lady called Barbara Toy who went and got herself a series Land Rover and drove by herself to Baghdad in the early 50s, which is incredible. I mean, you couldn't do that now just because of the political situation, but there's always been women out there pushing the boundaries, but probably not getting the recognition that they deserve.
That's right.
And of course, a big name in the rally world is Michelle Mouton, who was kind of my era when she was competing. That was when I was watching stage rallying and the Group B era. And Michelle Mouton drove a Quattro, and we actually owned a Quattro exactly the same as she drove for a long time. And she is still to this day the only woman to have won a stage of the World Rally Championship. So it's not like we're the first in that respect, but I think more and more women are getting into positions where they get a little bit more recognition.
Yeah, it is the case. It is. Is there anything you would like to share in particular?
Gosh, I don't know. I mean, this is just a really exciting time for us. We're excited to get started on the build of the new car that we'll take to Dakar. There's just a lot of things going on, and at the moment it just feels like there's lots of logistics that we have to get in place, but we've determined as ever to make it happen, and that's the great thing. And it's one of the great pleasures for me is partnering with Marcella, who, like I said, has been my friend for a very long time. We have such a good relationship, and we balance each other out, and we encourage each other, and that's what makes our team strong. Because in a situation, which we know from experience on a long, long rally, there's always going to be days when one or other of you's down. And it's really important to be able to, you know, give each other a hug or lift each other up.
Share some
and carry on.
Yeah, and understanding. Yeah, that's important. And before we end this conversation, which I think we could keep talking for hours,
we could.
Just if you would like to share your next challenges, so in case someone wants to follow you, where they can find you. Yeah.
So the next event that we'll be participated in is called the Rally de Dame de Coeur, which means the rally of, if you translate it literally, rallies of ladies of the heart. That rally takes place in France in the Burgundy region, and it's in the mountains and forests of Burgundy with spectacular scenery.
Very nice.
And the cause behind that rally is to raise money for breast cancer research, and it's an all-woman rally, so all the teams are female. And the rally was actually started by a lady called Beatrice that I met on the Gazelles, and she started an association to raise money for breast cancer. The rally is the main big event that they do, and then they have little events throughout the year. So we find that a lot of the ex-Gazelles do the rally, and it's a really great atmosphere, and everybody's there for the cause but also to be competitive. So that's on the 9th to the 12th of May that rally happens.
Okay.
And then after that, we're hoping to be back in the UK. We've already done an event this year with the British Army Motorsports Association, so we hope to be back in June for the next edition of that event. And then looking forward, we are planning to do a humanitarian trip to Northwest Africa at the end of the year. And then if everything goes to plan and the new car is ready, at the beginning of next year, we are planning to take her to Morocco and give her a trial and to make sure that everything's as we want it, which will probably be spring next year. And then after that, I think it's sort of full on for the Dakar prep. Mm-hmm. Obviously, if there's any other things that come up that we can do, any opportunity to go and drive, particularly in Morocco. I do like driving in hot places. The sand and the desert is just incredible. But me and Marcel are already thinking ahead, and we said, how do you top Dakar? I don't know. I don't think you can top Dakar, but I think we'd like to go and just do other crazy things. There's a rally called the Viking Rally, which is in the Scandinavian countries in the snow. I don't like snow particularly, but it would be a fun thing to do, and you get to dress up as a Viking and silly things like that.
Do you think it's more challenging to be in the desert or in the snow, beside that you like or not warm and or cold?
Gosh, I don't know really. I don't really have a lot of experience of driving in the snow, not living in a country that has a lot of snow. I think in terms of the terrain, because the desert is so big and empty, the challenge there is finding your way. Mm-hmm. And I think challenging the snow will be not getting stuck. There is an element of not getting stuck in the sand as well, but it's slightly different. I think both have their challenges. I don't think I can really answer that question until I've been driving in the snow.
Okay, so we wait for you to do the biking.
Yeah, that would be fun. It would just be nice to do, yeah, a fun thing as well. So, I mean, we're hoping that all of our events are fun. We have to enjoy it as well. I think at the point where you're not having fun is when you know it's time to stop.
That's true. That's totally true. Ellen, I really thank you for this time and for this episode. And as said, we will share on the description the links to your social media.
Thank you.
As Eurosper, we are very, very proud to support you and to partner with you. So I hope that we will be in Dakar 2026 all together.
Thank you. We're very proud to wear the Eurosper t-shirt, which you can't quite see, so I'll just have to...
I'll take a screenshot. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.